ومالي عن ام العراق.
If you have to ask, is this shock and awe, you're not seeing it.
We refuse to carry on business as usual while American soldiers and Iraqi civilians die under the machinery of war.
We want to know why you came to Iraq.
Yeah.
Why? No, no, not you. You're a politic. You're a command. Why came here? You said you have a many reasons. Still now, you don't have anything. But look what you done. You... Destroyed. You destroyed all the people. Why? Because your politic is very wrong. From the beginning, when you let the people steal everything or take everything, and you...
نظلوا ساكتين ما يسوي شيء.
بس راح اريد تترجمي لي هذه كلش مهمة. احنا هذا كله صار.
This all happened, okay?
This all happened. But we want to know how we can live now.
Tens of thousands of Iraqis had to give away their lives for reasons still unclear to them. Many reasons were given. Some of them were it was the house for terrorists. Some of them were weapons of mass destruction, which proved to be a false story. And of course, the real story is untold yet. But our doubt as Iraqis is that it's a very terrifying new world order where the most tremendous military machine has a blank check to bomb any place in the world every other year as a show of power to prove to the whole world that they are the only police.
We are women demonstrating against abduction of women.
Yes.
And I am demonstrating in my own city. Do I need a permit from somebody to have a demonstration for women?
Yes.
I do not think so.
I think so. All right, if you have the demonstration, the Iraqi police will come down here and ask you to leave. So ahead of time, I'm telling you, before you have the demonstration,
we've
to get the permit.
We've had tens of demonstrations, and nobody's asked us for a permit. This is the first time I am confronted with this.
All right.
We were not allowed to breathe
ma'am.
If you want to stop this demonstration, it will be a very bad thing against you. I'm telling
you. I'm not stopping the demonstration. I'm not stopping the demonstration.
Hundreds of women.
Hey, shut your mouth.
Hundreds of women have been killed.
Don't ever use obscene language against Iraqi citizens. And this is by the law.
You are not allowed to.
My goddamn checkpoint, I'll fucking shoot you!
Get out!
Get out of the goddamn car!
What?
مريض عندنا مريض
ما شاف السفر يا
ظلمه تعالي مريض عندنا مريض
I'm sick
here.
Not here.
But you don't run a damn checkpoint.
Sorry, sorry.
You ain't soldiers. You understand?
Okay.
بدي اروح للشغل يعني
هاي شو وقت يا يوم؟
يوم 28/6 يعني الساعه 8:05 هيك طلع الباب بدي اتمشى بدي اخذ تاكسي ماي كار انجن ترابل ماي كار هي ونت تو جيت ا تاكسي طلع في الشارع العام يعني راح منها ما ادري بدي اروح للشغل شو انا دا شغل بالحديقه شو تسمع ضرب اقول هاي شنو ضرب رصاص بعد شويه يجي واحد دا يركض يقول لي ابو مازن البس هدومك وتعال ويانا ليش؟ دا يقول لي البس هدومك وتعال ويانا اجي كاتلي صدره بطنه ورجله بايده يعني كان يقولون كان اكو سيارة حتى ثلاثة مال الجيش الامريكي دا تمشي ما اعرف يقولون اكو سيارات اخرى مدنية دي طار مطاردة ضاربين طلقة هذول رشوا على الكل هو واقف دا ينتظر تاكسي هو انقتل اذا اكو تقاعد خاطر اطفاله يعني بس هاي
الاول والاشياء اللي قلت الاخرى
انا بالنسبة لي يعني ما احنا
يعني
the end of our life but the child يعني الأطفال تخاعد
أصلا أنا ممكن يعني هم أنا أريد الاعتذار رسمي يعني أخويا ما كان شايل مسدس بإيده وأساسا هو معك من الخدمة العسكرية مسلحة ولا
مريض مريض
يعني ما ممكن إنه
فرحة بلبها
يعني إحنا دن تناولنا الفطور سويته الصباح وتسولفنا وأخذ أغراضه وطالع للعمل يقول لي شايل مسدس لا ويتهم يقول لي كان أخوك ده يطلق نار على سيارة بيك أب ده يحاول يسرقها
سياحهم
نعم.
والشرطة العراقية هما تينو فت سيارة لاند كروز بيضة طفرة ورأسها من على السياج ومن الباب
طفرة من فوق السياج
من يعني صورة همجية
ايه.
يعني حتى أتوقع إنه حتى عند الجيران شلون صار صعودهم وعن طريق السطح إحنا غلقنا لأن سمعنا الدبابات جتي
نعم
فإحنا كان عندنا علم إنه بدت شغلة الصحف
تحديدا في اختبار فضل شريف يوم التاريخ 21/7 الاثنين الساعة 3:30 تقريبا اقتحمت المقر الجريدة قوات
جريدة مستقلة
قوات أمريكية مكونة من دبابتين ومجموعة أشخاص الخزانة المقبولة هي تقريبا من ونص أو 3 المعارف تحديدا وجهاز كمبيوتر جهاز كمبيوتر يعني للتنظيم وخزن بالمواد الجديدة وأمور شخصية أخرى يعني مستمسكات شخصية جواز سفر مال الأسر قضايا أخرى حقيقة أنت بسم نحصيها
إحنا سمعنا أنه رئيس مجلس الإدارة اعتقل
فعلا تم اعتقال مباشرة رئيس مجلس الإدارة الأستاذ عبد الستار الشعلان واقتد إلى منطقة وكانت مجهولة
ما تعرفون لحد الآن
لحد هاي اللحظة ما نعرف وين
جو أول مرة هنا الصبح جو هنا افترب كل المنطقة وراحوا جابوا الدرع هنا تقدموا علينا احنا بداخل البيت كانوا يقولون لنا اطلعوا ما خلونا كل شيء نطلع من البيت تلفزيون ستلايت يعني كل اثاث البيت كامل وخلوه كانوا يطلعونا نريد ملابس الاطفال يضربونا ولما نقول لهم نريد ملابس الاطفال اي والله ضربونا احنا اني وبعد وياك وبنات ضربونا قالوا لنا طلعوا حتى سحب علينا راد يضربنا وطلعونا طبعا سبع بس نسوي سلاح يخوفنا ومشينا قسما علينا قدامهم ودونا اللي هناك وكانوا يقدمون هم الدرع هذا المرافق الصحيه هدموه وتقدموه على البيت
اي زين
ضربوه
وضربوه اجينا لقيناه هيك
ورا شيء هدوكم بعدين
اي ورا ما كملوا القصف اللي هدونه
ساعه
كامله هنا يضربون بالبيت
هذاك
العتاد مكوم بكت مدربعات اثنين
يعني يضربون عليه بس بكته
بكته وقاذفه
اي سلام يا سيستر بعدكم هنا عايشين لو
انت اي لا والله عايشين هنا ما عندنا مكان غيره وين نروح ورا ما اخذوا الولد قمنا نشتغل بالكرك كنا ما نعرف نشتغل بالكرك قمنا نشتغل بالكرك ونزقي ونفلح يعني كنا كل شيء ما نعرف كان وزيلهم كل شيء ما نشتغل
ابويا رشده مكسوره وفي عراقيين واحد يزوع دم ببغداد ابويا يزوع دم دم بغداد لا يخالف ابويا حتى
Here's your cane.
Hey, sit down, you.
All right. Hey.
Sit.
So
hey,
Jack. What's in the house?
You got him?
Hey. You got him?
This guy's got a bum knee? Yeah.
No. You have to stay. You stay.
My friend is a jolly little girl.
Hey,
Put all the women in here.
Christ.
No. You got
to let me.
You too.
You?
Go.
Why you got this shit?
There's a little kid in here.
Hey,
No, you too. Go. Somebody get this old man.
This guy's. You want to take him up here and he's just like a stack of weight. You can stay in there, it'll probably take you an hour for you to go back up.
We engage, you have to engage the population. We engage them with direct and indirect fire when they attack us, which is more often than we would like, and then we engage with dialogue.
In short, the only ambulance you saw, they shot the ambulance and they shot the driver after they checked his car, inspected his car and knew that he was carrying nothing, then they shot him. And then they shot the ambulance. Now I have no ambulance to evacuate over 20 wounded people. I don't know who's doing this and why he's doing this. This is terrible. This has never happened before. And I don't know who to call because it seems nobody is listening.
Oh!
الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر الله اكبر بسرعة عبد الله
امك يا امك امك
They say there is a ceasefire. They said 12 o'clock. People went out to do some shopping. Everybody who went out was shot, and this place was full, and half of them were dead. I don't know why. Please, you do your best to ask them why. Thank you very much.
يعني من كل شيء من هالظروف هذه زين هذا المي واقف لا البلدية يروحون عليهم يجون ينفوها لا كل شيء ينفوها
ايش قد صار لها هاي
هاي صار لها اسبوع
This has been going on for ليش لما كان هنا ما يشوف
لا يفوتون منها يوميا يفوتون
The Americans are passing every day
through شنو سوون يا الامريكان
What have they done to us
هذول يا قناة
Was it like this before
كانت هيجي قبل بزمن
لا قبل ما كانت هيجي
No
And why do they think it's
better? كانت أي مجاري تنسد نروح للبلد للأمانة نروح للأمانة يجون سيارات تيجي تنظفها هسه هاي صار الأسبوع يمكن أربع خمس
مرات. There is no one hear us.
No one listens to.
No one.
Before very good, but now not good. You see.
Everything is miserable.
Yes, before very good.
The education, the water, drowning pipes, anything.
يعانون ما يعانون عانوا ما عانوا هذا شهر تموز وآب أقوى وأقصى أيام الحر هي بهالشهر هنا
يقدرون هم لحظة
وكهرباء ماكو بالبلد
يقدرون الشهر فلان إيه هالقد هسه ماكو هيك شيء ناس قامت تشتغل غاز
قامت تشتري بدك
تشتري بدك تشتري بسعر يعني كلش غالي
لترهم غالي مال الغاز
بيش اللتر هسه
250 دينار.
بالمحطة هو بعشر يعني بالمحطة بثمانين دينار صار بالمحطة
بثمانين دينار
بثمانين دينار people pay electricity for the auxiliary electricity which is becoming the main electricity and they pay the Iraqi government for providing them 4 hours of electricity also through a meter so they're paying both for the government electricity and the private electricity and you can see the wires strung They went into Mussolini's good bed. They are providing electricity to as far as 1 kilometer and 300 meters away from his place.
يا شوية شوية خامس جيت شوية شوية صفر صفر والله ما تفيد والله ما تفيد 700 مظاهرة 11 مع اللي هسه
اللي ودنا بينا بالشارع. النبي
Now what we don't want is that under Saddam and his clique, there were a few people who were beneficiaries, and the majority of Iraqis simply were spectators. We are creating now the same circumstance. The Iraqi public at large are spectators. There is a small clique who are beneficiaries, along with the international companies. So where is the real change? In terms of economics, where is the real change? If the peace dividend is going to accrue to international companies, then I'm sorry to say this is a formula which is unfair, and I think in the long run it's a formula for disaster.
Iraqi bedilu abagdadu la ahwa siwaki madinatan.
الشعب العراقي الشعب العراقي هذا شعب يعني ما أدري مع الأسف حمل جريرة ظلم الكرة الأرضية كلها يعني 35 سنة صار هذا الشعب يضرب ويضرب ويضرب وتحت المطرقة وماكو ماكو ما سمعنا صوت ما سمعنا صوت نادى بحقوقه ولا محفل أممي واجتماعي وإنسان.
So actually we are traumatized. And those who have returned back from abroad are traumatized as well. They have been traumatized before leaving the country, and they have been traumatized when they have returned to the country.
It's like a Frankenstein, that's what I've been thinking. You know, this country has been chopped up by dictatorship, and then by sanctions, and by war, and now by occupation, and now it's stitched together in a very haphazard and ugly way. And it's, you know, I don't know.
سياسة وهذه مصالح ومصلحة أمريكا فوق الكل وكلها أكاذيب. بس الشعب بعد مغلوب على أمره لأنه صدام دمر كل شيء حتى قتل بي الروح الروح قتلها بي يعني أبدا ما متفائل بوجود الأمريكان وبالعكس أنا أحب الشعب الأمريكي شعب الله سبحانه عز وجل خلق الناس كلها وخلقنا نحب واحد يحب الآخر ومؤمن جدا بالسلام ومؤمن جدا بالحب لكن أبدا ما مؤمن بوجود الأمريكان. وجود الأمريكان يشكل ضرر على العراق وعلى البلدان المجاورة ويحاول يخلق فت قاعدة والمستقبل القريب هو اللي راح ينبئ لكم الكثير أنه الأمريكان وجودهم كان جريمة بحق المنطقة منطقة الشرق الأوسط كلها واللي أوجدها صدام.
السيد بوش تشذب علينا يقول لك أنا خلي العراق أحسن شيء.
مو وين
أول شيء لا جاب الأمان لا جاب الثقة لا جاب البشرية ذولا كلهم قاعدين على طالب الطالب قطع رزق العالم لا كهرباء لا مي لا سيارات تسليب بالشارع نهب أي واحد يطلع هو أنت المغرب أتحداه أو يطلع سيارة نظيفة أتحداه
غاز ماكو
زين غاز ماكو بنزين ماكو غاز ماكو نفط ماكو زين وين الأمان الجابة
والله يا صدام يعني ما أدري إيش يريد أقول لك يعني هو الأذى تعامل ويا كل دول العالم ضد هالشعب هذا تعامل ويا أمريكا تعامل ويا بريطانيا تعامل ويا فرنسا تعامل ويا الاتحاد السوفيتي تعامل جميع البلدان العالم ضد هذا البلد.
The whole problem is not to be hostage to the Saddam US binary because it's not a binary. That is the crux of everything. That's why these people like the poet Ali Zaidi, the old man, and the hotel manager and all that, this is what it's all about. That these people who've suffered so much under Saddam do not hesitate one moment in telling you how painful it is for them to see an American tank come in.
أخي أقول لك شيء، أقول لك الضغط اللي تواصل علينا مدة 35 سنة فقدنا توازننا. إحنا بشر، إحنا كائن يتخبط في كتلة من الأعصاب، حتمية ازدواجية هذه الأعصاب. يعني تقدر تقول إحنا هسه الشعب هذا مزدوج. ليش؟ لأنه فقدنا توازننا. شو نسوي؟ ضغط 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 ضغط. أي بارقة أمل حتى لو قشة في هالفضم هذا ممكن نتشلب فيها. فإحنا فقدنا توازننا. زين، فأي شيء حتى لو تكون من العدو من الشيطان، من العدو من الشيطان، المهم نريد شيء يضمن لنا استقرارنا وتوازننا. ماكو بديل، خيار ما عندنا، خيار نضع ايدينا بيد الشيطان من اجل يمكن ان يركننا شويه او يرفع شويه بينا. احنا نعرف كل شيء.
المجلس لا يمثل سياسي الداخل، بل مثل المعارضة الخارجية ومعارضي الخارج، وهؤلاء ناس تمتعوا بحياة تختلف عما عاناه الداخل بالنسبة للمثقفين والأدباء والسياسيين.
يجد أمل أنه يتشكل يعني شيء مثلنا إحنا، صدق مو مجرد وعود، أو يريدون بس يأخذون للحكم.
Our hopes are this is the last war that the Americans can do all over the world. This new world order that they have imposed on everybody, where their single goal is to be the single policeman in the world, has to end right away. We have given very big losses, especially the women and the children. It doesn't need to happen again.
راح التلميذ يجي الأستاذ، هذا الحج. راح التلميذ يجي الأستاذ، هذا ملخص ما هو فيه. الشعب هو الضحية.
يعني رسالة أوجهها إلهم، إنه يطالبون أولادهم وأخوانهم اللي هسه موجودين بالعراق إنه يرجعون لبلادهم ويرجعون لديارهم، لأنه حتى لا تتشوه الصورة أكثر، لأنه بدأت تتشوه مع الأسف.
أشكر الشعب غاني اللي هم قسم من عندهم مقفوي العراقيين، والجيش هم أشكره أنه أقول له أنه بسرعة يغادر الوطن، أنه طلعنا صدام من الحكومات
الوطن يريد يعني احنا نظام مستقر والامن المستقر في الوطن. احنا كل زين ندري ما جايين على صدام، جايين على النفط. بس كان قدرون ياخذون النفط باسلوب غير هالاسلوب اللي دمر البلد.
Women's International League was started in 1915 by women in the spirit of Code Pink, who crossed borders, tried to stop World War I, saw the connections between the economic reasons why men went to war and why women had to cross borders. Trying to stop this war, we decided the most subversive thing we could do would be to communicate directly to the women of Iraq. We have a letter that thousands of people around the country have signed, which we are sending to the women of Iraq. As women, mothers, daughters, grandmothers, aunts, and sisters, we are reaching out to you, offering our friendship, support, and strength. You are not alone in the struggle for peace and justice. We pledge to do everything in our power to prevent further suffering for you, your children, and all of the Iraqi people. We call on women everywhere to join in nonviolent action to end the current military operations and stop future attacks.
Diplomacy, yes. War, no. War will not bring anything to this world. Of course, Mr. Kim Jong-il is not my type. Of course, Mr. Saddam Hussein is not my type. But Mr. Bush, he is, you are not my type either.
Yeah. We may be small.
Thousands of feet below you, there is a small boy running from your bombs. If he were to show up at your mother's house on a green sea island off the coast of Georgia, he'd be invited in for dinner. Now, driven, you have shattered his bones. He lies steaming in the desert in 50 or 60 or maybe 100 oily, slimy bits. If you survive and return to your island home and your mother's gracious table, where the cup of loving kindness overflows the brim, and from which no one in memory was ever turned away, gather yourself, and set a place for him.
The political formula set forward by the U.S. occupation is a very tragic one. What is called the Governing Council in Iraq has set the dividing lines between the people of Iraq upon ethnicities, upon religion, upon gender. Of course, speaking about gender is the biggest misery of all, because in this governing council, out of 25 seats, only 3 women got seats. One of them is a previous Ba'ath symbol, and 2 of them are women under veil. What is the message that is set forward for women in Iraq? Is that this submissive woman, this is the role that we should expect for our future in there.
أمان وخير واستقلال.
وأنت؟ أنا أهم شيء وحدة الكلمة بين يعني يكونون كلمة واحدة ما يكونون متفرقين.
هي أهم شيء الحرية والديمقراطية بصدق مو مجرد كلام.
This is her.
Yeah.
And she's wearing kind of a mini skirt.
Yeah.
Tell her she was very beautiful.
مين؟
أمان. مشيتهم أو ثقافتهم أو شلون عيشتهم شلون يعني شنو هم غايتهم يعني مثلا هم مدار العلمانيين اللي تقول شنو يعني
يعني والله
أصير
متحرر
خلينا نقول
يعني
أي متحررة يعني
وصول يعني
أفكار أهم شيء الأمان في حال إذا توفر حيكون وعي أكثر يعني الثقافات تتغير الحياة بالنسبة للبنية يعني تكون شوية يعني نسبة انفتاح يعني متعادلة إذا كانت هي طبعاً من النوع اللي يتحمل مسؤولية الدين فتقدر يعني توازن بين الحياة المتطورة والحياة الدينية المتعصبة
منا حجة
ولد
وانا سيد
وخير
غير عمل صدام بي ايه
اوكي ايه can she start off by telling me what she thinks of the CPA
نبدا بسؤالنا نفسي، شو رايك بالسلطه الائتلاف القوات الامريكيه يعني في العراق؟
والله القوات الامريكيه ما ريتها تبقى هنا. اولا امريكا من جت حررتنا على اساس التحرير، تحرر وترجع، ما ريتها تبقى هنا. ايه هذا نريد، نريد امريكا باسرع وقت تطلع من عندنا قبل الاهانه وقبل لا يصير ترابيه مو خوش.
This morning I woke up and thought about how the people in Iraq must be feeling right now with the absolute certainty that their lives are going to be short, with the absolute certainty that everything they know and care about will be destroyed. And how could I get through the day knowing that this was being done in my name?
Where do I go to find?
I am fasting because words alone are not enough to express my deep opposition to this unconscionable plan to invade Iraq. It is not acceptable to me that this action be taken in my name or the names of other American women and our families, especially women of color, who know what it means for our lives to be considered worthless.
As human beings, we're supposed to treat others as we would want to be treated. Sit down and consider, would you want this to happen to your own children? If you're a mother, if you're a grandmother, if you have, you know, sisters and brothers, would you want your family to be treated like this? And I think that the answer would come very quickly and very clearly that no, the poor children and women in Iraq didn't do anything to the United States to deserve this.
Awaken to your power.
We decided that we did want to work as women and that Daddy got us into this and we're going to have to get ourselves out of it.
Awaken to your power.
Well, I think it's a very sort of profound and important way to make a statement that is not just verbal, that speaks to people's souls.
Awaken to your power.
Well, when you ask me, you know, why I think our leaders are taking us to war, it's interesting that I can't immediately come up with a good answer. Anytime that someone says we don't have a choice, I start not to trust them.
I am fasting to express my opposition to the U.S. waging war in Iraq, that this opposition spreads across the nation.
When I waked up this morning, I remembered hearing that a rare sight of Venus was to be visible in the... But when I came and looked at the window, I could only see Mars, not Venus. I was disappointed, but when I thought about it, it seemed a little metaphor about how the consciousness of this looming war takes up so much of my attention these days and weighs down my spirit since 9/11. Having a quiet time here to feel connected to other women concerned about peace.
There were those who didn't care about praying, the young ones, the ones who had been to America. They told the old ones, you are wasting your time. Time? The old ones prayed for the young ones. They prayed for Allah to mend their brains. One of the women in the book wrote an alphabet of words, and the last word was zest. And I don't want to forget.
جو أول مرة هنا الصبح جو هنا افتروا بكل المنطقة وراحوا جابوا الدرع ونات قدموا علينا ذاك العتاد مكوم بكت مدرعات اثنين
يعني يضربون عليه بس بكته
بكته وقاذفه
اي بعدكم هنا عايشين لو انتم
اي لا والله عايشين هنا ما عندنا مكان غيره وين نروح ورا ما اخذوا الولد قمنا نشتغل بالكرك كنا ما نعرف نشتغل بالكرك قمنا نشتغل بالكرك ونزقي ونفلح يعني كنا كل شيء ما نعرف كان وزيلهم كل شيء ما نشتغل
Look at Iraq for the last year. So many explosions, so many people are killed, innocent people, civilians, and so many places are targeted, so many explosions. Just in the last 2 days, 4 or 5 explosions in Baghdad and in other places of Iraq. And for the last 11 months, 12 months, I'm a year, many, many explosions. Where is the security? Women cannot go out alone, especially in the afternoon and at night. Even in the morning, I hear many stories about women who work, for example, teachers or employees, who are being kidnapped when they go to their work, who are being shot, dead, who are being abused. So for women, no, the security situation is really bad, and not only for women, for all the people.
Human Rights Watch put a very long report on this issue, and they worked on more than 70 cases, but they documented 28 cases in that report. I mean, you can hear about women you know, at least 3 cases, women I know, who were raped. One of them was over 50 years old. But why this happened, I mean, there could be many reasons, but I think the main reason was that the absence of authority, the absence of security.
Many of you may know that women in Iraq lived much better conditions than other women in that area, in the Middle East. We were much better off when it came to access to education, access to work, and also in rights, and that had a reason for it. The progressive movement in Iraq has started early on. By 1958, almost 45,000 Iraqi women were organized under what's called Women's League, and they did huge demonstrations on the streets and were able to change some of the civil laws. And most of those included articles of the law that were based on Islamic Sharia. Can you imagine, more than 50 years ago, there was a strong women's movement in Iraq?
The goal of this is discrimination is for the fair representation for the women in the transitional government. We want the women to take place in this transitional government because we don't want only the man take a place for this places. Why should the woman be in this position? Because she is able to do everything the man can do. We always talk about the democracy. I think democracy is not being established when the woman is not in this place.
أحب كل الناس تقول وياي نعم للنساء نعم للمساواة نعم للنساء نعم للمساواة نعم للنساء نعم للمساواة especially politically. Women cannot be oppressed anymore. We need to be everywhere. We need to be on all councils, and our numbers are 60%. We are more than half the society. Nobody can keep us down anymore. We want representation. We want councils that have policies that are friendly for women. We want equality between men and women. Long live equality between men and women in Iraq. Long live equality.
Women in Black started in Buffalo in October of 2001, shortly after we started bombing Afghanistan. It came out of a discussion group, one of many here in Buffalo, New York, that were holding meetings about September 11th, 2001. It's a model that we borrowed from Women in Israel, who started a Women in Black group in 1988 in response to their government's policies, particularly concerning the Jewish settlement and failure to reach peace with the Palestinians. And this is a worldwide organization, not just in Israel. It's a group of women that show up and hold vigil, a silent vigil, for peace. The idea is too many words have been spoken. There's too much rhetoric talking about war and the need for war and even the need for peace. And by our silent presence, they would hold up stop signs, stop the occupation. Here in Buffalo, we adapted that, but a silent vigil for peace and against our U.S. government's policies. People really take to this model and understand its significance and also its simplicity. You come once a week, you stand silently, you stand for peace, you show that dissent is still possible in this democracy.
Sacred the land, sacred the water, sacred the sky.
Conversions take place in our hearts, in our spirits, and in reality. We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our specific intention for being there, which we had prayed over, which we had discussed for months, was based on the fact that war was imminent, that there were threats made by the president to use weapons of mass destruction on the axis of evil countries. So every time the threat would come out, you know, we had studied for years international law. And so we were aware that the international law that has been incorporated into the Constitution of the United States, that this was being defiled. So we knew that we had to go and stop a crime.
We looked at it as a form of liturgy, as a form of prayer. And so we wore white Tyvek suits that had disarmament specialists on the front and in big letters CWIT on the back, Citizen Weapons Inspection Teams. And we clipped a link in the fence, in the cattle gate fence, clipped a link in the fence around the silo, opened that up and put our banner, Sacred Earth and Space Plowshares, on it, poured our cross, our blood on there in the shape of a cross, on the railroad tracks, on the sides of the missile silo.
Thank you for being in black.
May the Lord bless you.
Thank you so much. It's great seeing you. It's great being with you. Thank you. Peace be with you. It seems like I've seen a lot of you in this way, on this journey. Thank you so much.
My name is Frida Berrigan. I'm a member of the War Resisters League and part of Ardeth and Carol's Jonah House community. And Ardeth and Carol and Jackie have asked me to introduce them this morning and explain why they and many others of us are dressed in black. As the sisters go into court today to be sentenced by the government for their courageous and legal act of exposing and inspecting U.S. weapons of mass destruction, they are dressed as women in black. Ardeth and Carol and Jackie will wear black and stand silent to be in solidarity with the voiceless millions held hostage by the threat of the Minuteman missile and the mushroom cloud.
Our only problem is not just equality. We have much more immediate problems. We don't have jobs. We don't have money. We cannot survive if we go on like this. So we decided to take part in the unemployment movement, and we went out marching in the streets, and this movement was a big one. It started with thousands, but when I was there, and this is a month ago, the number reached 125,000 people who are who have membership in this organization and who we represented when we went into negotiations with the American officials.
We certainly cannot trust the media to cover the reality of occupation. We did an amazing job as the anti-war movement. Here in the U.S., we managed to get over 600 organizations to come together under the umbrella of United for Peace and Justice. And around the world, there were simultaneous demonstrations like we had on February 15th that I don't think has ever been seen before in history, where millions of people came out on the same day with the same message, a very clear message, the world says no to war. So we tried our best, and we succeeded in building a strong movement. We succeeded in forcing the U.S. to go to the United Nations. We succeeded in getting the Security Council not to go along with the United States.
There is a big secular base of people, of working class, of women in Iraq who are willing to fight for a better future. The occupying forces are trying to impose a very different reality. And if we are not there, if we do not get your support, it is not possible.
Provoking, hopefully, by the lyrics of the cheers, and also in a way that's informative.
When I saw people coming out to these protests, you know, in bad weather and in small numbers, I just felt that they needed someone, you know, to congratulate them and thank them. It wasn't until we got closer and closer to possibly invading Iraq that, you know, the tens of thousands of people came out.
Generally, protests are, frankly speaking, really boring. They're just really boring. You know, you're just walking, and that's great. People want to be there, obviously. But at the same time, I don't think there's anything wrong with being entertained and having fun when you're out there.
When there's a group of people who are participating in the rally, they're marching by, and then, you know, maybe they're starting to get a little tired, or they're just feeling frustrated about the issues that they're expressing, and then they see the radical cheerleaders who are saying, you know, we're saying like, yay, peacemakers, thanks for being out here. It sort of pumps people up and makes them feel good.
Hey, Kristen, did you know the occupation has got to go?
Do you want more?
What?
Do you want more?
No!
Hey,
Joe,
did you know
the occupation has got to go?
Do you want more? Do you want war?
No!
Hey, people, did you know the occupation has got to go?
Do you want war?
No!
Do you want war?
No!
Usually we pick a color, say red, white, and blue, or pink and black, or red and black, and then people just go out and find what they can find and try to be creative and fun, and you know, you can go to whatever extreme that you want.
We remember. It was just a year ago. Iraq was
was bombed, the world said no. We're aware, we're ear aware. You said the weapons would be found to distract from oil in the ground. We believe, we believe. It's time to take a different tack. Come on, Bush, bring them back.
Thank you.
they start looking at or start exploring the issues of Muslims and the Islamic fundamentalists and start portraying them as terrorists, you know, that does add to a certain resentment towards these communities, which lead to hate crimes towards them as well. And when hate crimes are being committed, people of similar physical traits and from a certain geographical location kind of get clumped together.
A.M.
People coming down. We felt a little shake. Everybody fell to one side. We had no knowledge that.
Steel core weakened by the plane's impact and the searing fire.
Tragic hour in America's history.
Balbir Singh Sodhi, a 49-year-old turban Sikh and father of three, was shot and killed while planting flowers at his gas station in Mesa, Arizona. Hours before the crime, Sodhi's alleged killer, Frank Roque, had bragged at a local bar of his intention to, quote, kill the ragheads responsible for September 11th. In addition to shooting Sodhi three times before driving away, Roque also allegedly shot into the home of an Afghani American and at two Lebanese gas station clerks.
Sat Naam Wahe Guru, Sat Naam Wahe Guru.
We don't share the same ethnic or religious affiliations of the people, at least who they think that they're targeting.
Today is Friday, April 28th, 2000. I cannot forget that day ever in my life.
More charges are expected to be filed next week against the man accused in Friday's deadly shooting rampage outside of Pittsburgh.
My brother-in-law called me and says, somebody shoot Sandeep.
34-year-old Richard Baumhammers is in custody, accused of killing five people and wounding a sixth at several locations around suburban Pittsburgh yesterday afternoon. He allegedly shot a Jewish woman, two Indian men, a Chinese man, a Vietnamese man, and an African American man.
Sandeep was in helping my sister in a grocery store, and that guy just came in and started shooting him.
स्टोर में अकेला था उसने मुझ पर गोली चला दी और सीधे में जमीन पर गिर गया उसके बाद मुझे कुछ नहीं पता
नेक डाउन हिज बॉडी इज कंप्लीटली डिसेबल ही कैन नॉट मूव हिज आर्म्स और लेग्स और नथिंग फॉर फूड एंड फॉर एवरी लिटिल थिंग ही हैज टू बी डिपेंड ऑन somebody else.
This was clearly an example where people outside of our communities didn't differentiate between whether you were from India or Pakistan or from Guyana or Trinidad. you look the same to them, and those who want to hurt you or discriminate against you, you know, will not differentiate where you're from exactly.
September 11th, 2001.
My name is Shakrae Yagi. I'm a mother of three. I've been married to my husband for almost 10 years now, and I came to the United States from Afghanistan after the war over there, or during the war over there. I grew up here in Albany.
This is my niece. He's 7 years old.
Yeah.
And he has his teeth falling out.
Oh.
And this is Ziad. He's 9. And that's Abudad.
No!
5. Life in Albany is peaceful. It's a small city. So, I mean, I grew up here. I know it. This is where I couldn't call anywhere else home other than here. So my family's here. You know, I went to school here. My husband basically spent his whole adult life here. My husband, he was detained for 3 days before he was able to make any phone calls to a lawyer or to a family member or anything like that. It was basically, he was picked up off the street and just taken away. And that was it. No one knew anything about it.
Since 9/11, the FBI and INS began illegally detaining Arabs, South Asians, Muslims, and Sikhs, rounding up over 1,200 in the first weeks of the crackdown. The government has yet to disclose the detainees' names, where they are being held, and on what charges. Those released report many more Arabs in detention, leading experts to believe unknown thousands are being detained.
It happens with the Chinese Exclusion Act. It happens following on many years after that with the internment camp, putting away 120,000 Japanese Americans just because of their country of origin and their race, even though many of them are actually American citizens. And today, with the Southeastern Muslim Arab Americans, they're under the same kind of destiny. They're going through the same thing. They're being crucified, they're being ostracized, they're being detained, they're being put away for the same reason. That's why I'm here today. That's why I say history is a way to repeat itself.
We feel that when people of Arab and Muslim descent are attacked and their civil rights are violated, that this affects everyone.
What it actually feels like to be part of a community that's being targeted by special registration.
Because these days, if you're a man age 16 or over from any country that's predominantly Muslim, you're assumed guilty until proven innocent.
When I came into the INS checkpoint, they saw my passport and it says clearly country of origin is Iraq. They asked me to step into a room where the first question that was asked to me by the two officers that were in that room was if I was a Muslim or not, and whether or not I was patriotic and to whom I was patriotic. Do I have beef with what, or do I have problems with what the United States is doing to my country? Mistakenly, not realizing that until after I'd been trapped, I said, yes, I do have a problem with what's happening in Iraq. And that was the mistake I made, was thinking that I could actually speak my mind to these folks and that any of my amendment rights counted at this point.
I didn't really think much of it. I said, okay, they're questioning, that's fine, then, you know, he should be out within a day or two, because how long can questioning take? You know, and now I found out it was so amazingly horrible that, you know, no one should go through that. He was held in solitary confinement, or as it's they call it the special housing unit, where in that particular cell area that they keep you, it's a, from what I was told, it's a 6x9 cell, and it has a tiny little window that you can look out from because you're in there 23 hours a day, sometimes 24. And the window that he had to look outside to see whether it was day or night or the season, if you want to even say, because since he was in there all of fall, all of winter, and all of spring, they painted it on him, and apparently to all the other inmates as well, so that they couldn't look outside to see anything. He was videotaped 24 hours a day, so he had absolutely no privacy. The light was shone on him 24 hours a day.
Many detainees have reported that they were mistreated while in custody. This included humiliating body searches, confinement in cold cells without blankets or shoes, and in some cases, being drenched with cold water by guards. As the jails filled, some were taken to detention centers out of state, far from families and attorneys.
Who is it?
Hold on, she finishes.
Hello? Assalamu alaikum. Do they know where they took him?
Yeah.
They do? Because usually they don't even tell that. They didn't let him see any lawyer?
No.
All right, ma salam.
My daughter said that the brother of one of her friends was picked up by the INS with no charge and then detained. So she didn't know who to call to do something about it. And they weren't letting him see a lawyer. So.
Is this happening a lot?
In the last 2 weeks, yes. I mean, it goes in waves. Now INS is under Homeland Security. So if they decide to do a sweep, you know, of questioning or detentions, a lot of them do happen here in the D.C. area.
And how do you know they've been picked up?
It's really exactly like in, what it used to be like in Argentina, the disappeared. They are the disappeared. They take them. They don't let them speak to anyone. They don't let them get a lawyer. They keep them indefinitely with no charges whatsoever. People know because they have relatives. They know these people disappeared. So it's very disconcerting.
And I'm sure you can see that we are nearing the Immigration and Naturalization Service door. Hi.
I'm Zach Dafter. How you doing?
Nice to meet you. I'm Kathy Hope Springston. Why don't we go right inside and we can talk? We'll be good here. Tell me about what happened the first time you came here.
The first time I came here, this was on March 20th. I came here because being a citizen of Pakistan, I'm required, to comply with a policy of the U.S. called INS Special Registration. On March 20th, I came actually right to this office of INS. I had consulted with the international student advisor of my university to make sure that from an immigration perspective, things are in order, before I went for registration. And, we looked at my case and basically I had no concerns, coming into the INS Special Registration about, potential problems. That certainly didn't, turn out to be true, and the special registration turned out to be an enormous surprise for me. In fact, a shock. At one stage of the registration process, I was, without fully knowing what the reasons of my arrest were, I was arrested and put in a detention cell right in this building for a couple of hours. Following that, I was transported to a county jail in Stratford, Virginia for the night. And as we spoke about this, slightly before, I was released on bail from Stratford, Virginia the following afternoon.
You had been here for so many years. and obviously done so much and to help our country and to do so much for our communities too. And then to have this suddenly change, obviously, you know, there was some sort of a mix up here.
No, and it's you know, for me as you know, a student, for me as a resident of the, you know, in the U.S. for 11 years, you know, this, all of this has been like, you know, an enormous surprise for me.
Is your knowledge based on specific targets, or is this, has this decision been made based on the weight, more of the weight of everything that you're looking at?
I think I'll stick with the statements we've made, that intelligence, which is assessed on a regular basis, provides a very sound basis and a responsibility for us to communicate what we believe to be an elevated threat to the American people.
There may be some bumps in the road. That's life. Everything doesn't end like it does in the soaps, you know? I don't actually know how it ends in the soaps because I don't watch it.
My name is Sonny Humphrey. I'm a victim of September 11th. We are detainees for INS.
They just pick people up and just leave them here. They don't even come over here and tell us nothing.
I wish, you know, we can deliver this message to all the public, to all the people.
People have been over here trying to kill themselves because they want to go home. You got guys that just came off the boat and they want to go. I just had to save a guy's life the other day because he tried to kill himself.
Well, let everybody know that we are suffering over here. I want to say, please, I'm a father of 7 months. My baby, I don't see my baby yet. So, thank you for everything, and that's it.
Well, today, April 25th, marks the deadline for the fifth wave of special registration. Special registration being a new policy to really round up Arab, Muslim, and Middle Eastern, South Asian immigrants in the U.S., to make sure, kind of like placing a surveillance tag on them. They've put it under the pretense of special registration, something that's going to extend to the entire population of immigrants. But what they're really doing is labeling anybody in this country who is Middle Eastern, Arab, or Muslim as a terrorist.
What's this?
Masjid.
It's masjid. Whose is it?
Allah.
No, but whose is this? Whose was this?
Baba.
Yeah. Grandpa. My younger two children, they're 7 and 5. They don't know that, you know, any of the reasons as to what has happened. I've tried to explain to my oldest one what happened just so, you know, he's going to hear it in school, things like that. I didn't want him to be upset over it. But he can't comprehend the reasoning behind it. I mean, he understands that he was, you know, why he was taken in and things like that, but he doesn't understand what it has to do with us, why, what it has to do with his father, because he knows his father is innocent. You know, my children hasn't seen their father, and he hasn't seen them, or, you know, us, all of us, haven't been together for 15 months now. And, you know, that's 2 birthdays for each one of them that has passed that he hasn't seen. And I don't know, maybe this will be at one day, you know, it'll be an experience that I can, you know, say, okay, well, I've had that experience, now I know how to deal with it. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, though. It's horrible.
By the show of what the major demonstrations have been about, you know, against the war, there were placards that said, stop racial profiling, no more detainment of Mideast people. I think people are much more sensitive and more informed at this time.
We pledge resistance. We pledge.
just statistics and it's not just numbers, it's actual names and lives that are being affected by this.
There are many Americans who are fed up with all the unrighteous things that America has done.
You know, wars and how these horrible things done by one or two people can destroy millions and millions of lives. I think the statistics are that if one person is killed, at least 10 people are immediately affected by it. You know, all these people who have been detained and deported, 10 more people or maybe even more have been affected by this and their lives have been turned upside down.
We pledge to make common cause with the people of the world to bring about justice, freedom, and peace.
Farouk Abdel Muti?
No, I don't think he needs to be free until we know exactly who he is. They gotta stop letting foreigners into the country and letting them do whatever they wanna do, and we don't know a thing about who they are, what they're doing. America isn't the same anymore.
As you know, this is a rally demanding the freedom of Farouk Abdel Muti, who was arrested April 26th, unjustly we all feel. Since September 11th, the government has been using the incidents of September 11th to justify the imprisonment of thousands of people across the country.
You know, the NYPD intelligence was well aware of Farouk's political activities. The INS devises lists of people who have outstanding deportation orders, particularly people coming from certain ethnic communities, they've said this publicly, and they hand these off to the absconder task forces in certain cities. The task force then makes its own decision who to go after and when to go after.
During the time that he was arrested and taken to 26 Federal Plaza in Manhattan, this FBI agent, who's not supposed to be asking him any sorts of questions about crime or terrorism because that's not his charge, interrogated him severely and beat him, kicked him in the groin, slapped his face, and hit his head. If it were solely for INS reasons, then that would have never happened to him.
My name is Farouk Abdel Muti. I am Palestinian. I come to this country from the 1976, and include I have a son, children was an American, born here, his name Tariq. I be detained in 26th of April after my voice was in WBI, Radio Pacifica, to bring the voice of the Palestinian people in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and the Palestinian refugee camps.
Hundreds of thousands of people across the country heard the broadcasts, you know, broadcast from Jenin, broadcast from Nablus, all these different places where all these humanitarian disasters were taking place. People were getting like first-hand information of what was actually happening.
You know, I was with all these groups when we make a big rally in after 9/11. With the interfaith, I bring the Muslim speaker, I bring the Christian Arab speakers to be part of this big rally. I believe in peace. Peace and justice and equal society in the historical land of Palestine.
He always makes a distinction between legitimate national liberation struggle and terrorism. He doesn't believe in exporting the Palestinian struggle outside of its borders.
You understand about my community, the Palestinian, the Arab community here beginning to be afraid, and is afraid even to talk, afraid to go to the streets, afraid even to deal, to talk by telephones. The INS detainees, many of them, especially the 9/11 people, have families, have lawyers, have cases, and be deported. One day and nine are deported. Never you know what time you can get move you from here. Then you move you, and after you disappear. Strange policies is working. very secretly, you don't know what this can happen to you. This kind of psychological war against the Arabs and the Muslims today is the same time repeat the history of the 1943 against the Japanese Americans. We have to stop these things, you know. We have to go to talk about the balance and criterion of right and true.
Talk to my son, say hello to him, huh? You have a telephone number, right?
Yeah.
Okay, please call him.
Activism is that which empowers the silent.
I think poetry is a really public voice when you get right down to it.
So many people who are not artists and who don't make things took a piece of cardboard off a box. There were so many wonderful signs of every kind.
Puppetry is power. When magic confronts authority, magic always wins.
People, 200 people.
By 6 o'clock.
Lie down!
We wanted to get 200 people to lie down in the streets with us to represent the 200 people so far who have been murdered, civilians in Iraq.
Imagine 9/11 times a billion. That's what the children of Iraq are feeling right now.
We're here right now, and we're lying down right here in the middle of Washington Square Park, representing those who have lost their lives, both our own, both soldiers and the Iraqis, and the Iraqi children.
We're all humans, and to think that one human would want to kill another human being, really just, I can't understand that.
We need to stop this war before it gets worse and before more innocent people die.
We may win the war, but we are losing our souls. The people that are lying down here are trying to reclaim their souls.
I don't like
this country's upset.
The world is in our voices that only grows stronger.
There's nowhere else to go.
I want to show New York and everyone who might see this what 200 people looks like.
Best activism is that which empowers the silent. And as I've traveled the world, I've found that people really feel like they are subjects of the U.S. Empire.
High finance, warm people who just love to dance. Warm music, warm speech, warm teachers, and the things they teach.
Song for me is my way of service, of trying to inspire the people to say, you know, this world is still a place that's worth struggling for.
The war in pop is a war in space, a war in space, the nation's jealous. World War 1, 2, 3, and 4. Chemical weapons, biological war. Bush War 1 and Bush War 2. They got a war for me, they got a war for me. We can't stop when the beach is gone.
My name really is Ahmed Ahmed, and I can't fly anywhere. You guys too? It's a hard time being Ahmed. My name is Ahmed Ahmed, so it's kind of like, they pulled me off the plane. I was flying here to New York, and the guy was like, Mr. Ahmed, we have some questions we want to ask you. We're going to have to pull you off the plane. I was like, that's cool, I get it. My name is Ahmed Ahmed. And I am Arab. Sure, so I'm taking my seatbelt off, I'm getting out of my seat. Two white guys are sitting on each side of me like... I thought he was a Mexican. You're saying this to Al-Qaeda the whole time! I was like, hey, I'll be right back. Just save my seat, I'll be right back.
know the painting well since I was really very young when it was at the Modern, and I always really loved it and was very fascinated by it. And because I thought I knew it so well, if I wanted to copy a piece, I thought, well, this will go quick. But it was very complicated and very amazing how the parts locked together, the lines of tears, and just everything about it is unfathomable, actually. And then I had done these women with the dead children, the women in black. Part of what I found really wonderful about the demonstration was that so many people who are not artists and who don't make things in their sort of daily life, obviously thousands and thousands of them took a piece of cardboard off a box. There were so many wonderful signs of every kind, words, images. Some were funny, some were very cynical. But they were really full of life, and they were a real outpouring.
You are the fresh Minden. This is totally fantastic to have this happen. You know, that you come with new things that come from the street, from the experience of protest, and for using puppetry this way and that way. It's a totally new branch of puppetry that this stupid country has never seen.
Demonstrators were storing things to block traffic.
Riot police surrounded the Ministry of Puppet Ganda, where they kept the puppets for the protest that took place today. Police arrested over 70 people.
Somebody's very scared of our big puppets. And they should be, because our big puppets spread the message of coming together, of peace, of joy, of solidarity.
Puppetry is power. When magic confronts authority, magic always wins.
We'll be right back.
everything we can to protect the homeland. We will take actions necessary to protect American people. And we'll always value freedom. We will plant that flag of freedom forever by keeping strong and adhering to the values we hold so dear, starting with freedom. You're either with us or you're against us.
Are you either with us or you're with the enemy?
You're either with us or against us. We mean it. There's no middle ground when it comes to freedom and terror. They should not protest because it is in the best interest of freedom and humankind. And I'm going to leave it at that.
I'm going to read a poem of six lines by a hero of mine. He's a visionary. His name is Cameron Penny, and he is in the fourth grade. He is. He's amazing. He's in the fourth grade in a Michigan school. Cameron Penny wrote this. He said, "If you are lucky in this life, a window will appear on a battlefield between two armies. And when the soldiers look into the window, they don't see their enemies. They see themselves as children. And they stop fighting and go home and go to sleep. When they wake up, the land is well again."
This poem was originally entitled "A Nursery Rhyme George W. Bush Could Read on His Own." Closer reading, we found out some of the words were still too big. If war was not an option, please, New York City, let me hear you. If war was not an option, I would leave no children dead. Instead of bombs, I would learn to use my head. If war was not an option, I would plant flowers, not mines, in the Iraqi soil. And I would use solar energy instead of crude oil. If war was not an option, I would stop dreaming of gasoline. I would become a grown-up and no longer so mean. If war was not an option, I would no longer threaten voices of dissent. In fact, I would actually find questions, quite pleasant if war was not an option. I would extend my hand in sincere friendship and call home our people on the battleships. If war was not an option, I would no longer fear anyone ever finding out it was the U.S. that gifted Saddam all his evil clout. If war was not an option. Come on, y'all, let me hear you. If war was not an option, I would spend money on education and health care and promise all Americans they would be treated fair. One more time. If war was not an option, America would become a respected and well-loved nation. Now all I have to do is use my imagination.
Umreda is a character that I've created who is based on a woman that actually lives in lives next to the Amaria bomb shelter. There is a Amaria bomb shelter was bombed in 1991 during the first Gulf War, and there is a woman there who lost all of her family in that bombing. But her way of dealing with that was to set up a trailer and live outside and take people through as a tour. And this character is loosely based, it's based on circumstances from her life, and I had met her when I was there in 1991 and took the tour of the shelter.
I am hard to understand why it's I survived and my children did. I ask Allah why you make me alive. That night, it's all people die, 403 people. There's nothing we can do, they are dead. This is Amaria bomb shelter. Here they write their name in chalk over the smoke figure. Here on the ceiling, you see it, a charred handprint, footprint from people who lay in the top bunk. Here, it's a silhouette of a woman. She is vaporized from the heat. This huge room, it's become like an oven, and they press to the wall to escape from the flame. La, I don't want to show you there. It's too much. Walls, they are stuck with hair and skin. Come. I take you to the roof. You can see how the hole it was made. Two bombs from U.S. airplane, they come to this point of the roof. The first bomb, it's a drilling bomb. Second bomb, it come inside exactly same spot. It explode in fire. U.S. said they thought it's communication center for military, but people here know, think they wanted to kill as many people as possible. Now look around the hole. Wild greens, they are growing. Eh? Life to choose to root here in this grave of Iraqi people. All it's my family, it's here. Ghada, it's here. So I am Om Ghada, mother of tomorrow. I take my full name back when I see it smile again. Then I know my daughter and son, they are alive again.
I think poetry is a really public voice when you get right down to it. And although the poem is made in private, there's a public aspect. It's almost impossible to write a poem that has no political implications.
Where is that voice from nowhere? That burning bush, that passing dove. For I hear voices of generals calling for ammunition, presidents calling for arms, and women calling for help.
And it was almost as though the whole country was waiting for the right march, the right moment, the right speech to stand up and say, wait a minute, we don't want to be accountable for 600 or 700,000 civilian deaths or a million.
Where is that voice from nowhere, that God of Abraham? Can he be heard over the gunfire, the whiz of passing missiles, the crash of buildings, the cries of children, the crack of bones, the shriek of sirens? Or is that his mighty voice, your angry God craving the sacrifice of virgin generation sons degenerate, your holy books written in red ink on burning sands, your prayers between rounds do no more than fasten the fate of your children to the hammered truth of your trigger, a truth that